All right, we're back, everybody. Sorry about that, folks. Sometimes I forget to put the correct time in, and we start talking, and we forget all about it. The default time is 15 minutes, so we talked real quick for that 15. We got another 45 minutes left. And what we were talking about is briefly that we have a president that doesn't care about people. We all know that. We know that he lies. I didn't watch his 4th of July speech, nor did I watch his speech in South Dakota, because I knew it would be filled with lies. I am interested in what he says, just to see to what extent that he is going to. I mean, all you have to do is look at what how he went after Bubba Wallace as a simple example. But let's bring the guys back in here and continue where we are. I'm opening up your mic, Byron, and you, yeah. Wayne. Go ahead, Byron. Finish making the point you were making. I disconnected Wayne, or something happened with Wayne by mistake. Go ahead, Byron.
Well, you know, the critical phase of where we're in right now is that these next 2 months, we are seeing a potential spike of 100,000 people a day. A day, Eric. We're over 60,000 a day already. And there's no relief in the very near future, because these are the people who were released by these states who followed the administration's lead to open up without caution, and look what has happened. And now, 2 weeks, as the CDC said, in 2 weeks, your numbers are going to explode. Now, question is, failure of leadership, let alone in the White House and the administration, but the failure of leadership now lies within the Senate and the House Republicans, who are standing staunchly against any changes of shutdowns. So basically, what we have are a group of evil, maniacal, global, maniacal individuals who are not interested in anything but money. They're talking about opening up the baseball season. And at what point? Because they need to get the monies that the television networks, the billions of dollars that they've already expended, and these teams have the money. Do you think they're going to give them back? And then you think about the PPP. How in the hell is Mnuchin and the Treasury Department allowing, and Congress, allowing them to give the monies that's supposed to go to cover paychecks of people who are working in these industries, but they're actually lining the pockets of the corporate America with money that is blood money. And then they're talking
want to give
us a stimulus check again for those who are making $40,000 and less. Well, guess what? Three out of every five persons in this country is a service employee, part-time. 60% of the employment of the employees of the United States are part-time employees. We're setting up an impoverished nation worse than any third world nation could possibly even engage in. And this is where we're headed. And it's going to happen so fast, folks. By the time you get to realizing you've been hoodwinked, you'll be up over 4 million people infected in this nation.
Yeah, I like how they and Wayne, we got you back, Wayne. Sorry about that. You got disconnected.
Yeah,
too,
no
if you
problem.
To jump
I, I'm, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, they added when they talked about the job, when he tried to claim all the, you know, the credit for the jobs numbers last week, which came out on Thursday, obviously, because the holiday and kind of they were hoping to that their lives will last a little bit longer, and tried to claim, you know, that the economy, you know, he claimed those jobs. But, you know, when you looked a little bit deeper and some of the economists were saying, some reports were saying is that, yeah, but those were people coming back to work. It had been furloughed, or they weren't really, you know what I'm saying? So to claim those as jobs added, you know, in the middle of you losing all these jobs, in the middle of your performance of a pandemic, which causes more jobs to be lost because you've been lying about it from the beginning. And so, you know, this is what these guys do. They try to just make shit up. That's it.
You know, you
got this guy Navarro. I don't even know where Peter Navarro or his background, but you know, when these individuals and the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick out of Texas, you know, when these guys are talking about Fauci's been wrong, and you know, they're trying to decipher what the when you have individuals arrogant enough to try to decipher and talk about what doctors are saying, then we got a real problem. You know, and what becomes clear is that they have a mission. Go ahead. When you guys are trying to jump in, I could hear.
Yeah, it's me. Again, I apologize for the cell set, reception, but the thing is, and I'm glad you brought up Dan Patrick, because he was the one that was running around talking all that smack about, you know, well, if some must die so others may live, you know, it's okay with him. Now Texas is at the point where New York was 3 months ago. 3 months ago. I mean, if things are really bad, and they may have more space because of, you know, just the volume of the medical system out there, that they could accommodate quite a number of people who may need to be put in ICU and all that. But it didn't have to get like this. And as I said at the beginning of the show, these people only have a certain agenda. 500 participants in that Tulsa rally have now become infected. You got a situation in Arizona, you know? And the deal is that the Republicans, even some of them, are beginning to walk away from Trump because they realize, you know, this guy is a disaster zone. You know, and they know that it's almost inevitable that he will not be reelected unless something, you know, sinister should happen. And I don't put nothing past them, you know, even with the mail-in vote and all that. But the fact of the matter is just that, you know, he's off the charts. His niece, that book is very telling. And there's just so many different situations out here right now that just need to be exposed, and the exposure should be kept up until election day in November. You know, people need to be made aware. He had those PPP loans going out. Byron was just talking about that. People like Kanye West, Jared Kushner, and other cronies who support him got paid big time. And there are people out here who still hadn't gotten a loan. And then they're still quibbling about having to send another stimulus package out. You know, I mean, the country's falling apart. And I just don't understand it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand it. It's a mission of these guys to run it into the ground. And
but it makes
of course it makes no sense. None of it has ever made any very much sense except for a very few people, even during the time when white supremacy was flourishing even more than it is now. It never worked for all white people. It only worked for the very few that were smart enough to weaponize it and then use it even against their own. And so it's never worked, and it's never made any sense. So that's not something I think we should waste our time with pondering that question. And I can understand, because it's constantly confounding. It's constantly bewildering how people could take embark on behaviors that are self-detrimental, that are bad for themselves. But they do it because the one thing they could cling on to, remember, is that they've been told, you're still not a you-know-what in this country, and you're still better than that. At least that's what they try to believe. But here they are walking around, and they see this black president and his black family come along, and they see how the country loves it, and then they see this happen and that happen for African Americans, and they're just combusting inside. So when the racists and the power hungry get together and decide they want something, and clearly in this country that's been kind of individuals of the same hue, if you feel what I'm saying. So, you know, that they fuel the fire to the ones down at the bottom of the ladder, saying it's all their fault. See what's happening to our country. See all these monuments coming down. Preserve our heritage. Yeah, a heritage of hate. You know, and they talk about it's not about hate, but apparently it is about hate, right? Because if you guys, like me, every time I've seen some footage from civil rights era documentaries, from footage from documentaries in the civil rights era, I'm talking about the classic footage of the fire hoses and the dogs and things like that, or the Little Rock Nine, or Ruby Bridges, or the sister who missed a bus with the Little Rock Nine that day. Every time I've seen brutality and savagery against my people, someone, somewhere, in some of that footage was waving the Confederate flag. So for them to talk about it's not about hate, it's about heritage, you got a heritage of hate. And that's getting revealed, and that's why they're combusting inside. And even the ones who never shown it before, who lived by the good graces and the benefits of white supremacy, are losing their mind. Because that's why, how you can tell, because they're reacting in certain ways when they see black people coming in a building behind them, or they see a black man on the same floor, or they see a guy painting Black Lives Matter outside his house, and they naturally assume that it's not his house, or a woman gets upset that a couple is building too much building on their backyard, so she want to come and ask them for a permit. So even the ones that claim they weren't racist, right, that they had no inkling, but they enjoyed that first-class citizenship, right? They enjoyed that white supremacy and that white privilege like a big dog, because when it's threatened, we see what they're doing. There's millions of videotapes all over the internet about all of them calling the cops and then having to write a letter or make their own social media statement to cover up their ignorant, racist, white privilege reactions. Always.
I'm glad you brought that up, Eric. Not to cut you off.
Go ahead, jump in.
The brother in Central Park, we are such forgiving people that, you know, he turned around and told the district attorney's office if they want to pursue charges against, I believe her name is Alice Cooper, the incident a few weeks ago with the bird watcher, the brother, his name is also Cooper, and the white woman that, called 911 to deliver a false report, you know, it's at a point now she lost the job, she's contrite and apologetic. And the deal is that I guess the DA wants him, the victim in this case, to press charges. And he said, you know, she's learned enough. But, sometimes I just wonder. It's like what I was telling you last week about the situation in bucolic Montclair, of all places, the citadel of liberalism in New Jersey. Who would have thought that somebody would come out and act the way she did? And so many people, and I'm proud that so many progressive people came out, black and white, to protest this woman's behavior. But I want to think that they're a minority. And I also like to think at some point we have to come up with an elixir, because I don't know what it's going to take to convince those who are in disbelief that they've been privileged. If you get what I'm talking about.
I don't care about trying to convince them myself. Go ahead, Byron.
Yeah. Someone, a dear friend of mine, posed a very interesting question to me this week. And she asked the question, historically, when and why do white people hate black people so badly? What is the real reason? Now, I'm going to pose that question to you, gentlemen, because I got an answer. But I want to know your own rationale, because, see, deep within our DNA, we do know the truth, okay? We know why that exists, and it goes way, way past anything that's in current history, because this has to go back to the whole concept of the original man.
I was just going to say, brother, because the black man is God.
There it is.
Uh-oh.
You know it.
Uh-oh.
Come on now, because we're going to I'm gonna bring it to you in stages that make real good common sense, because there's the allegorical, there's the biblical, and then there's reality. And at some point, all three of those merge into one. Now, the allegorical, we all know the story, because if you're a good practicing follower of Christianity, you know the story of Lucifer being cast out of hell, heaven onto the hell on earth. Well, if you really go with the allegorical story, you got to say, well, where is that place? Where is the place that Lucifer and his minions, who were disgraced and were cast out with Lucifer to that same hell on earth? And if you Google hell on earth, guess what? You will be locating, as what the scientists say, is a real place. Somewhere in Turkey, there's a real place called the hell on earth. Now, I don't know the Turkish name for it, but if you go to the spot, it'll tell you somewhere in the base of the Caucasus Mountains. Now, we
sure,
do know
Mississippi.
That we do know that as a result of a lack of
same
melanin,
difference.
We do know that as a result of a lack of melanin, those people who were hiding in the caves could not get sunlight. They went through a frost season, a season of another pandemic of the world being in an ice age. Okay, so at some point, those persons who were compromised by Lucifer and Satan, because at the point of which, if you go to the book of Enoch, which is one of the missing books of the Bible, it literally tells you what happened when those angels cast out of heaven were sent to the hell on earth, because they began to copulate with the children of God, creating another whole race of people. Now, it may sound as far-fetched and allegorical as you could possibly take it, but guess what? This story is over 2,000 years old. I didn't write this. I'm not making this up. This is coming from writings that are all well past our pay grade, guys. All right?
That's right.
Now, at the point of which, if you look at even the Russian Orthodox Church, Christian Church, has a most sacred icon that depicts God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as black. They're black.
Mm-hmm.
So at the point at which the wind that it happened is because all this time they've been jealous of us and our personal relationship with God. Now, everybody in America who was part of the slave movement, and we all know we got some folks running around here saying, well, you know, it's the Bible that has messed us up because we were following Christ. Well, guess what? The Bible that these slave owners gave to the slaves was missing two-thirds of the Old Testament. How in the hell do you take two-thirds of the Old Testament out? Because you know why? Those chapters in the book were telling you about how the slaves were rebelling against slavery and Pharaoh, against oppression.
Hey, hold on,
hold on.
Let me stop you right there, Byron. So
yeah.
Let me see if I understand you correctly, my brother. Do you mean to say, would you sit there and form your mouth to tell me that the folks didn't like what the book said, so they made up the rest of the story?
That's
you mean
right.
to tell me that they didn't like the truth? So they made up a myth, kind of like a myth of someone conquering a country over some mythical savages, and they had to go through all this stuff and how they, you mean kind of like that, right? How people kind of make up their own
like
narrative because they don't like their reality, right?
Kind of
like the full circle. Wait, I'm feeling a full circle coming around, kind of like the president's niece, his lineage diagnosed him. Kind of like one of them people. That's what you're saying? Okay, go on. I just want to make sure I was following you, brother.
I'm following it out, Eric. And then when you talk about the race of people that were created, because think about it. The first three chapters of the Bible in Genesis, all you hear about is people begetting. Well, what is begetting? It's copulating. It's making people. All right? Now, let's get real. Who took out those chapters from the book, the King James Version? Who took those chapters out to give to the slaves for what particular purpose? Like Willie Lynch.
And why?
Okay. The king.
And why? Thank you. And then ultimately, now you've got all these people going around thinking that you know, let's give them the white Jesus. Let's give them the white God. Let's give them Mary of Joseph and all white. Well, every pope that has ever come out of Rome, his first prayer is for the black
Madonna. Got a lot
Madonna.
Of background noise, Wayne, or whoever. Just mute your mic. Just mute your mic talking into it.
I'm quiet.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so that first prayer that the pope makes after being introduced as the white smoke comes out of the chimney, we all know the story of how the popes are clad. Their first prayer, guys, is to the black Madonna. And I'm not talking about no fair-complected black Madonna. I'm talking about a blue-black black Madonna.
Right. Well, Wayne, you guys reported on that back in the day, right? My mom was reporting on that back in the day, that John Paul, right?
Yeah.
Right. And within the last couple of years, we brought it up during one of the programs, you know. And I'm a devout Catholic to a certain extent, and I've been brainwashed. But I have to say that is not something that is prominent within the teachings of the church the way it should be.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
It's unfortunate, but it's just one of those things. You have to do digging, and therein lies the racism, you know, that's involved with Christianity and Catholicism in particular.
That's right. Mm. That's why we have to understand where does the mythology and the reality merge to be the truth? Because this just didn't happen in the 20th century, guys. This racism, bigotry. It goes way back. I mean, and you talk about the Crusades. What was that all about?
That's what that was about, right?
See? Once again, we go back to that concept, and then as we have moved into the 21st century, now we've got the distortion of not only a religion, we got a distortion of, and here's where it gets really gets me. Okay, let's just say you're following Christianity. Well, the first five commandments are all about praising and honoring God, your Father. You know what the sixth commandment is, guys? Take a guess.
What's that?
The sixth commandment. What is the sixth commandment?
I have forgotten.
Thou shalt not kill.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. A civil law merged with the spiritual law. And how confused and conflicted can you get when that, I mean, the line is very simple. Thou shalt not kill.
That seems to be one that people kind of went around that a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll go around the flagpole to create a rationale for why you got to kill somebody, like the Second Amendment. So we see now we have to understand how do we unravel, and you asked a very good question, Wayne, because the preponderance of the confusion is how do we engage in helping to change that mindset? Well, if the president's own niece says his psychological profile, she is a clinical psychologist, one based in narcissism that goes way, she says this goes way past narcissism. This man is evil. Now that, when your own family claims that you're evil, what more do you need to hear? Okay? And then there's a bevy of psychologists who have already signed on to say he not only can he not form a sentence correctly, his vocabulary is not as much as a fifth grader. He repeats things. He is in a pathological construct that ultimately is showing the world he is not mentally stable, and I'm willing to bet you the GOP know this. Reagan was suffering from Alzheimer's, they knew that.
He has some oratorical skills, and I don't know. I was talking to a friend of mine today. How do you get somebody to sit and take the SAT exam for you, unless you got connections?
He paid him.
I don't know. I thought you took that in a class that you were in, like most of us, over a period of months and years. That you know, the instructor, the educator who's teaching you, No. I didn't know that you could. Oh,
no,
okay.
That's not
so
how I
let me
if
know because
private,
I need to be
if you're
enlightened.
In a private school, yeah. Come on now, if you're in a private school, there's a lot of money talk and what walks. Come on, guys.
But even when I went to school, that's not the way. That's not the way. Was you go to a you go to one morning and you take it. You're not. It's not administered to you by your regular teacher.
By your teacher.
So,
that's right.
At school, it's a separate testing system. And obviously back then, like you said, it was a lot easier. And also, of course, in a private school, I'm sure it was extremely easy for him to pay someone to take it, which explains a lot. It explains, like we always call it, like we always talk about, he's stupid. Like, I was like, this guy is stupid. Saying some of this stuff you say, stupid or you're an evil genius because no one would say something that stupid. Well, lo and behold, look, it come to find out he is, in fact, kind of stupid. So... Sometimes some things are right in front of your face there, right? There's no need to look around. There's nothing deep about it. He's a rich idiot. You're a rich, racist idiot. You know?
So the notion is, fast forward to the 21st century where we are right now, and I begin to ask you the questions about how long have we known that Flint, Michigan's water has been tainted by General Motors? Over 5 years. Now,
you had a governor who was complicit in poisoning everybody.
Right.
Don't forget, you had a governor who was complicit not only in poisoning everybody, trying to take over those black towns. Because you remember what he was doing, putting those city administrators and city managers in, superseding the entire municipal government of those locations. And that's what Snyder did. Mm. The criminal Snyder and his cohort in his administration.
Yeah, here's where it gets even worse. The Flint, Michigan situation, if you watched 60 Minutes last week, Flint, Michigan is in Newark, New Jersey. Y'all know the story. I ain't got to repeat it. You know it's in Philadelphia, lead in the water there, in Washington, D.C. Every major city with major black populations have been found to have lead above the recommended level. And when you do this to a child, by the time he gets to the third grade, his neurological damage is so impaired that he is just ripe for the prison, from the school to prison pipeline. And now, let me tell you, I know this personally because I participated in a study in the state of Georgia that was created by the United Way to determine why the reading scores were so low. And they're built. Did you know that the colony of Georgia, when it was founded as a penal institutional colony? And to this day, Georgia's number two or number three highest grossing business is the penal.
Is penal system, right? I thought it was Louisiana.
Well,
it's Georgia.
No, it's Georgia. It was a penal colony. It's history. And now you understand what we got as and when we got a syphilis experiment, when we got, you know what a Mississippi appendectomy is, Eric?
No, no.
It's called sterilization of black women.
Sterilization
of
black women?
Of black women in Mississippi. It's called a Mississippi appendectomy.
And is that what they told the women at the time and they sterilized them instead?
Right. If you know the story of Fannie Lou Hamer, she tells you. She tells you this.
And this, you know, this is what I was talking about.
Who thinks of these kinds
of things? Make your point.
Who thinks of these things as to why? Going back to the question, when did it start that they started hating us? Because we as a guy in the Central Park, he's forgiving. You know what? God's people are forgiving people.
But I look at it like
this.
I look at it like
this,
Byron. I look at it like this. You know, Cain slew his brother Abel. Abel was the, and metaphorically, right? Abel being the black man, Cain being the white man, Abel having favor in his father's eyes, Cain being jealous of slaying his brother. So I mean, you know, if you just look at the bigger picture, it's like what is the driving force of your hatred towards us? And many of us, I mean, I've gotten to the point, I just accept it. That's how they are. That's how some of them are. Fine. I don't try to question it or try to reason anymore other than the fact that you get respect when you give respect. So you give respect, you will get respect. If you come at us with violence, you will receive violence in return. I'm down with the NFAC, if you know who they
too.
Are, I'm sure.
And you know,
I'm on that mentality.
Like we said,
when you see us marching, it ain't going to be the protests. And that's the mentality that they have. So, you know, it really kind of boils down to that.
A thousand of those brothers showed up at Stone Mountain Park. Stone Mountain Park in Atlanta, Georgia, is the home and seat of the KKK. That's where they held their rallies. And 1,000 of those brothers came armed to the tooth. And they said, where are you? You said y'all were going to kill us? Where are you? Where are you? Because we're here. You ain't got to come find us. No, where are you? Because you're punks. You're blowing smoke and you can't even write. You're blowing smoke and can't write a check that you can cash because you ain't got the nerve to show up. Because if you're ready for it, those brothers said, bring it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, that's to the point where we are. And as many of the cats that are out there, there's a lot of cats that support them in that mentality. So, you know, we hope that people get our message because we ain't playing. We ain't playing. Now, I want to ask you, as we got about another 12 minutes, 13 minutes, that mentality, that thing that Trump does, right? The lies, the mythical world that was developed for white supremacy, but it seems to be contagious, right? I mean, they believe him no matter what, and I understand supporting your person, standing behind your person to the nth degree. I understand that. We understand as African Americans because of the system that has been piled on against us with so many lies. But now, as we watch them flip that argument that their lies are being lied upon, right? Their righteous indignation of the Confederate statues coming down, so they have to go and deface a statue of Arthur Ashe, who is not the same equivalent of many of those people. But this is what happens when their privilege is threatened, their preferred citizenship. They cannot handle it. And so I wonder if is that what the case is in states like Florida, Texas, and Arizona, where each of those governors refused to do what was right by what the scientists and the medical authorities were saying. Even many of their mayors in their towns were asking them to put stricter measures in place in terms of the guidelines, in terms of social distancing and masks. And all of them, Santos, Abbott, and the crazy, and whoever that is in Arizona that still refuses to put some of these measures in place as the cases are spiking to this day. These individuals are willing to sacrifice their own citizens. Abbott making a 180-degree turn. Now we have to start getting serious and wearing masks, whereas 2 weeks ago he wasn't saying that. Same thing with the governor of Florida. I'm talking about making fun of New York because we're doing it. Now look at your state.
And each one of these places is
overrun by people of color.
Result,
go ahead.
In Washington, D.C., just as of today, as a result of the 4th of July weekend, D.C.'s numbers were flatlining. They have spiked.
Because you allowed
those idiots to come into the city when you're not even in phase three, and now you're reinfecting your nation's capital. Guys, this is no joke. And guess who's a safety net is away because Congress took a recess. We'll not be back until August. By the time they get back, in 3 weeks, look at what they're projecting. All hell will be breaking loose as a result of opening up too soon and not following the CDC guidelines.
What broke my heart the other day, if I could chime in here, was to see the mayor of Atlanta, who has been at the forefront of all these, police shootings and all the racial, degradation that has gone on in this country the last 6 months. You know, she's been the Southern spokesperson for what is happening and what needs to be done. And it was unfortunate to hear that she came down with it. And as I said, you know, at the top of the broadcast, you know, I don't wish anything on anyone, but I just think at this stage of the game, Donald Trump probably has it and is not reporting it, you know? It's like the president of Brazil. He was in disbelief, called it just the flu, and, you know, you could recover from it, and now he's walking around with a mask. You know,
well, that's called karmic justice, isn't it? It's called karmic justice when you're like that. You know,
and the thing is, you know, but I don't know what it's going to take. You know, the Republican Party, this group, and I don't speak for all because there are a number of black Republicans out there that are standing in disbelief with what is going on, you know, and certainly don't intend to support Trump in his effort for reelection. But the fact of the matter is, as I said, this nonsense, the propaganda campaign that he's been promoting all this time, defies logic. I could see if the game plan had a legitimate ending. You know, he has no knowledge of how a virus spreads. He could care less how many lives are taken. And there's nothing in this agenda. He is going to go down as the worst U.S. president that we've ever had. And thank God his niece has come out with this tell-all book. You know, we didn't need that. But, you know, again, there are people like him. History has shown Hitler had his Joseph Goebbels. You know, there are people who follow and are not informed. You know, it's like the minister, I forgot his name, Jim Jones from California, who led a flock of his followers to Guyana and asked them to drink Kool-Aid. And that, you know, there are times when people are followed and they follow like sheep with no direction, no moral compass, nothing. If he said it, it's got to be so. And that's what, you know, really gets to me, because there's enough information out here. Fox notwithstanding, there is enough information out here that people know the severity of what this virus is doing, what it's doing to the economy, and all these young folks who think they're so freaking invincible, you know, it's affecting them too. And there's no cure. But, you know, it's so mystical how so many things are happening all at once. And you know, there's going to be some reckoning of this, and we'll just have to wait and see patiently what happens in November, and that's it. But I just hope the momentum continues, that, you know, protests. That people stay informed and keep it going.
Our job is to keep giving them the truth. Keep feeding the truth. Take the sunglasses off of these people and be willing to confront them, not only with truth and logic, but actions speak louder than words. And one thing we are seeing is that the actions are moving the needle. That's why we keep saying every week, you have the power, use it. You have the strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have the courage? Because it's going to take courage to stand up and go into that booth and pull that lever and demand the change of accountability with your vote. Now, 3 days ago, the Supreme Court gave you the reason why the Electoral College will not stand. It was a 9-0 vote. Now, what more do you need to understand? One man, one vote.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that clears the way for a lot of things.
We got
another 5 minutes before we go. I want to ask you guys about a couple of things. What you think? The guy in Indiana, you saw that? They allegedly tried to hang him. The brother was hanging with about 3 or 4 white friends. And they came up with, allegedly, I watched some of the video. Allegedly, they came up on some, they were trespassing. words were exchanged. They jumped on the brother, and they were talking about they were going to lynch or try to lynch him. And when I picked up the video, there was a guy holding him down. I couldn't quite see the brother. And it didn't look like there were one or two others. And when he had the, I don't know if they called him the N-word, you know, when they had him, he was like, what am I again? Here's my takeaway from this, and I don't know about you guys. When rolling out in the woods and in the world, A, never roll with some people that ain't going to have your back if some stuff pops off. That's the first thing. B, never roll with some people that you might, well, if you have all white friends, that's one thing. That's great. Just keep your head on the swivel. And C, at least one other black person is usually good that you might want to have. Because when you're hanging in kind of interracial group and somebody says, a white dude jumps out, jumps on a person and says, go get the rope. Whatever the beef is amongst the black people personally, as soon as they hear a white person say that, it's going to be, what, motherfucker? What did you just say? Excuse me, Ma, for that. So that wouldn't really be popping off in my circle. I don't know about y'all, if y'all want to comment on that real quick,
well,
that and Kanye deciding you want to run for president. But go.
I remember going to a Catholic camp, summer camp, when I was of that age back in the school – elementary school time period. And I remember going up to the Poconos where this Catholic camp, Camp St. Andrews. And it was a nice camp. It was a good camp. Most of the kids there are good. And they had a kind of a Halloween costume night. And I remember one of the young white boys in my cabin asking me if I'd be his slave as one of the costumes. And I at my age and my upbringing, I gave him a piece of my mind as I could possibly give, being young and being Catholic and in a Catholic camp, but under no circumstances would I engage or indulge his insanity. Where did he get that from? You understand what I'm saying? Because you can't, you don't, you're not taught, you're not born to be racist, you're taught.
Yeah.
And in his mindset, he thinks that's all he's considered black people to be.
What do you think, Wayne? What do you think about that situation?
Well, two things come to mind. You know, from what I was able to discern, he did have a white friend that was begging the guy to who was looking to do the lynching not to do it. So that was one thing. First of all, they make it
begging,
sound like as if
begging.
He was trespassing on private property. But it was a public facility.
Yeah, public
facility.
So that was
the other thing.
Yeah, and the other guy was yelling.
The other thing I would say to that is that next time bring your bear spray. Hopefully that would work, or a gun.
Don't be hanging out with
Kanye. As for Kanye West, I only got two words. Negro please.
Oh. What's up with that brother, man?
He's not right. I think Kanye truly has mental issues, I believe, and it's unfortunate, you know. But what are you going to do? I mean, he's got a lot of money. So you can't shut him up. Apparently, money works well in this society for all kinds of madness. So that's about it. That's about it, gentlemen. We've run out of time. If you want to give your last.
All right. Well, hey, peace and love always. You know my going out. Please use your vote wisely, people. Register and then make sure you go to the polls because your change and your vote will make the difference. Do it.
There it is, Brother Byron Saunders. Talk to you again, Brother Byron. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday. Who knows? We got to keep an eye on this guy. legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Give the people a piece of your mind before you cut off.
I just want to piggyback on what Byron said, that if you can't make it to the poll, be sure to put in the application that you could vote from home. It's very comfortable. You don't have to catch a virus or catch the flu or catch a cold or whatever. Just go out and vote.
All right. There it is from the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. We'll talk to you again, Wayne. Talk to you soon.
All the best.
This has been, Kay's Son and Friends. And, you caught us again live this evening on a Wednesday evening. talking a little bit of talk, keeping an eye on things for you. I'm Citizen Payne. My mom, Kay Thompson, is up in heaven looking down. Kay Thompson alive now. Kay's son and friends, happy birthday to my dad. Thanks to my music supervisor, Gina Holmes. See you all later next time.